A number of years ago, I went to Gull Lake Bible Conference, and I met a man by the name of B.F. Hitchcock. And he challenged my heart about reaching children in the state of Michigan. So much so that I had a little church in Crown Point, Indiana, and I invited his son to come and preach there for us. And he was so moved by what he had to say that I decided to go back to Wheaton College and say, I'm quitting. I'm going to Michigan. My father intervened and got a hold of the dean and the president, and they told me to stay at Wheaton College to finish my studies. But I've never forgotten the ministry of Rural Bible Mission and the ministry of B.F. Hitchcock. And I'm so delighted today that we have had the privilege to have Brother Buehler with us this week. I'm sorry I missed everything he had to say, but I know he's been a man of God amongst you, and we praise the Lord for that. But we also have Brother Dave Kurowicki, and he's always had a warm heart amongst us and very eager and energetic to care for our children. We don't have a bunch of kids, but those whom we do have, this dear brother has very carefully and diligently cared for and sought to teach them the things of the Lord. And we thank the Lord for him. But he never has the opportunity to preach to you people. So this morning we've given him between 5 and 10 minutes, more like 6 minutes. But he's a dear brother. We want you to hear this, brother. Give a little word. So, Brother Dave, please come and represent B.F. Hitchcock a good way.
Yes, all right. Well, hey, I am delighted to be here, delighted to be in front of you. I will try to, let's see, we're looking, okay, we got that. And I just want to tell you, I do have a pretty big ministry as far as the area I cover. I cover from, well, about 15 miles away from Lansing to a good, almost, 15 miles away from Toledo. And then I go out west, almost to the edge, very western edge of Jackson County, and I'm as close to you east as Dexter. And there's a lot of battles in that. I minister to children in elementary school, but I also minister to adults in churches, and God has put me in a really weird place. I get to be an evangelist in a lot of places, get to talk, and I won't do that today, dear brother. But I do want to tell you my purpose for ministry, why I do what I do, and why you should be joining with me and all these dear missionary friends. Why in the world do missions? I mean, I know Jesus said that, but I want you to listen to these words from the 17th chapter of Luke. Just a few verses, and I'll just tell you what my theory is, my thinking on ministry. Starting at verse 5, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Don't we all want more faith? I remember a time I prayed for more faith in my life.
What book is this, brother?
Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter.
Okay.
And, of course, we know this part of it very well. If ye had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. We know that part well, but the rest of this part is the real key to understanding more faith. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come in from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did those things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. I want to be kind when I say this, but I want to say what this says. We live in a country where Christianity is going to church and giving your money and having a good time on Sunday, and I will say, so what? Big deal. God does not say we get our faith increased by doing just those things we're supposed to do. I mean, I'm glad people are in church on Sunday. I'm glad they're in Sunday school. And I'm glad they enjoy service. But you know what? We have a world that's lost. and dying. And I don't care. Maybe you think you can't do anything. I can't do anything, but God can do everything.
Yeah. Amen.
He doesn't ask me to be much more than a branch or a building block or a vessel to hold water, the power of His Holy Spirit. I don't need to be anything more than that. And you don't need to be anything more than that. The call to reach those children or those people in other nations, if you're going to be in this missions conference, I want you to get past the so what. And I want you to step into the power of God and say, why not? Why not? Because there's people, there's a world out there waiting for you. Why not? To step in the faith of God and say, this is ridiculous and impossible, but let's go. Because God specializes in doing the ridiculous and impossible.
Amen.
That's the story of the Gospels, the whole story of the New Testament. Those people in the book of Acts, they were... You'd think they were crazy if they weren't powered by the Spirit of God. I have a lot of cool things that happen with kids. One of the cool things that happens is we pray. Now, you know, children, I got to tell you, children don't have our theological knowledge about prayer, about what God's supposed to do and not supposed to do and how God works. So you know what they do when they pray for stuff? You know, they just think God answers prayer and God does what He wants. A few years ago, I had a couple twin girls ask us as a class in this one town to start praying for their grandma. That they wanted their grandma to see. So their grandma's blind. And that's all I knew about it. So we prayed in class, and we've been praying on and off for that. And I checked this fall with them. Said, well, they actually said to me, they said, our grandma can see pretty good now. I said, oh, really? I said, did the doctor do something? And, well, the words they had for the doctor weren't very good. They weren't impressed with that. And they said, well, they're taking little supplements, but that's not really a big deal. But they said their grandma can see pretty good. And I said, oh, that's cool. And I said, well, how long has your grandma been blind? He said, oh, 21 years. You see, to them this doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to God. That's my challenge is to pray where they pray. My challenge is to believe like they believe. My challenge to you is to believe like they believe. God is God. And He can do anything. So, please get past the so what into the why not of faith. Thank you.
God bless you. Brother Ben, pray for our brother, will you please? Right now. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for the message that Ben preached. I pray, Lord, that you help us to think about this message, Lord, and to consider your calling in our life, and to be obedient to that calling, not to look at our own weaknesses, but to have faith that you can use us, Lord. I pray for this brother, Lord. I pray for his ministry, that you strengthen him as he has treated so many children with the gospel, Lord. Just bless the ministry. I pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Our goal was $15,000 for this conference, and from the report I have, it's just shortly over about $3,500. That leaves a shortfall of several thousands of dollars. I don't know what your heart desire is, but we're not trying to pick your pockets, but we're trying to tell you, give to the Lord and give generously. And this is your great opportunity. Remember, you can't take it with you. There's no U-Haul to heaven. So you might as well leave it behind. And if I can share this with you, the older you get, the more conscious you are that what you have is not worth having. Because you're going to leave it behind, so you might as well give it away. And I just trust that you'll really dig deep into your pockets this morning and give to the Lord. I've asked the men to be prepared to give us an account at the end of the service as to how much was given this morning, so that we can press on and do all that we possibly can for the glory of the Lord. I haven't been around, so I don't know what was said, and I'm not trying to contradict anything else, but we've always given our missionaries a very generous amount of money. Most missionary conferences, they don't do these kind of things. But we'd like to give at least $2,000 to each family. That means $10,000 right off the top without having to pay for their expenses. And it costs money to get them here. So please, here we got a family with 7 people, I mean. A mom and a dad and 4 children. Is it 5 or 4? 5. That's 7 people. And come on, you have been blessed. And so show it by your desire to give us unto the Lord. And we encourage you to do that. If you haven't got the money with you today, put an IOU in there, that's all. And say, I'll pay it later, and that's okay. Our intent is not to glorify man or to exalt a dollar, but we do want to give as unto the Lord. And Corinthians is very careful about teaching us that our giving is a response to our love for the Lord. So please, don't tell me I love the Lord and don't give. You give. Everybody's got a chance to do it. Give as unto the Lord. So we ask the men, please, to come and take the offering right now. And I think Brother Lim is going to play for us during the offering. Thank you very much, men. James, please. Thank you, Lim. Let's stand and sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all God, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Matt Posey, will you lead us in our prayer, please?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning and to participate in this service, and particularly this part of the service where we may give to thee, because thou hast given so much beyond all measure to
Amen.
Us. We thank you that the gift that you have given to us, put in the scriptures as indescribable, and here we give a small portion of that which you have blessed us and caused us to be stewards over. May it be, Lord, that on the other side, when the stewardship is given account for, that it will not be found that your goods were wasted, but that they were used for the glory of the Son of God, in whose name we pray.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. You want to give those monies to these fellows, please, so that they can make the count. Thank you kindly. Our first speaker today is Brother Ed Frampton. And the last time I saw him was in Johannesburg, so I'm so pleased to see him today and his family. Brother, you're not going to just deprive me of hearing your children, are you?
You don't want me to, I would.
No. No, I want to hear those kids sing.
Okay, I'll go short and let him sing.
All right, please.
Quick. I love to sing a song they sang at the very beginning that somebody asked for them to sing again called Hear My Lord, Send Me. So they just
stand in front here. Yeah. Stand in front of me, that's all right. Yeah. I tell you, every home ought to be that way. Homeschooled kids. And so that the humanistic world hasn't had a chance to get their claws into them. Thank the Lord for our brother and sister. Thank you so very much for coming and participating with us. I'm sure you've been blessed. But don't leave it at that. Go home and do likewise to the glory and praise of God. Brother Ed? Okay, where are you? There you are. Thanks. Bless you. All the children are welcome to go with Brother Kurowiki, please, if you're interested. Anybody going with Brother Kurowiki? There we are.
As they go out, let me just say quickly that we just want to say one more time, thank you so much for everything that you've done. As the week has progressed, we have been more blessed, I'm telling you, not only by the services, but by the people reaching out to our family, the gifts, the kids, things they got, and all the food. We thank you for that. And I told somebody I was saving my biggest clothes to the last of the week, you know, so... But it's been absolutely wonderful. We thank for all the for everything and for Tim and Jenny for them opening up their home to us. We really appreciate that so much. Jeremiah chapter 32, if you'll be there, please. Just want to say we are again, if you it's the first time you might be here, I don't know, with the International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee. And we are reaching out around the world, areas all around the world, South America, down in other areas, Israel, in a couple countries up in Europe, and then down in Australia. And we're trying to get the people planted around in the cities in America to begin reaching out more and more in the witness with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, working through the local church. And making sure that as Jews come to know the Lord or Gentiles both, that they'll get tied right into a local church and discipled. And that's our goal. And if we can sum the whole ministry up, that's it right there. Trying to train people to train other people and to reach out with the gospel. And so you pray for us, the International Board of Jewish Missions, as we go forth and do that work. When I think about missionaries, I often think about Jeremiah because of the job he had. And as he went forth as the prophet, and he had a message that was so, it wasn't going to be accepted. And he knew that from the very beginning. And yet he was a faithful man to do that, a faithful man to give forth the message that God had put in his mouth. And in Jeremiah chapter 32, some years ago, I came across a scripture that's been a real encouragement to me. And as we made each step in what God would have us do, whatever that was, and what God would have you do, you really need to remember some things about missions and about serving God. And that is just who we're serving and how faithful he is. And anything he calls you to do, he will provide the means and the way for you to do it. And more. Amen. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has the Lord got his disciples together back in, when we read it in Mark, he said four words: have faith in God. Have faith in God. And isn't that really where it all comes down to? Do we really have faith in a sovereign, omnipotent God that can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask and think or think? We say we believe in that God, but when it comes down to actions, how are we living in that way? Are we really living that way? But Jeremiah did, and I just want to take this and I want to show you this text and then just quickly make some applications here. Chapter 32. I want to read you a verse 16 and 17, but I'm going to give you the context of it. It says, now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is what? Nothing too hard for thee. Have faith in God. This is what Jeremiah was doing. And Jeremiah was in a predicament at this point. As we see in this scripture in verse number 1, it says, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, and it was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. And the king of Babylon had an army, and he besieged Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. Why was he in prison? For Zedekiah, the king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper. Now this was the situation. He was in prison, simply for giving forth the word of God. Brother Terry said it several times this week, and I really do agree with him. I wouldn't want to be in anything but in the service of the Lord, whatever capacity he would have me in. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want his hand to be on me, as you said this morning. I want to experience the power of God in whatever he would have, whether that be as a Christian businessman or a missionary over in South Africa, to be what he wants us to be. It is the most wonderful thing to be in service for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But it's difficult. There are times when things just do not turn out how we would expect them and want them to turn out, as you were saying this morning, Terry, in the dark class. And Jeremiah was faithfully giving forth the message that God had given him to give forth. He was serving the Lord, doing everything he could to serve God and be faithful, and he was in prison. And in the midst of that prison, the word of the Lord came to him in verse number 6 and said, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, thy uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. Now, let's go ahead and read, and I'll make my comment short, but I want to read this whole text. So Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine, buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful too? When God speaks to your heart from His Word, and then He sends somebody along and just kind of confirms that. It's wonderful. And he saw that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it, and took witness and weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law of customs, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hanamel, my uncle's son, in the presence of the witness that subscribed the book of the purchase before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Barak before them, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed in this land.
That's right.
Wow, what a promise. Yeah. Now let me just give it to you in a nutshell. Here's Jeremiah in the prison. He's been preaching the truth and giving it to Zedekiah. The Babylonian armies have surrounded. They had besieged the city. There was a little let up there for just a little bit. Some of the armies of Egypt coming up. But they were being besieged. And basically, the surrounding area around Jerusalem was held in the hands of Babylon at that time, at the Babylonian army. And they would soon come in. And as we know, they would be carried away captive. And this was the story. And it was being prophesied that this was going to happen. And because of that, Jeremiah was in prison. Now get the story. God tells Jeremiah, your uncle's son is going to come, and he's going to offer you a piece of land. And you're to buy that piece of land. He did it, and Jeremiah bought it. What was so strange about that is that he was buying a land, basically, that he knew, Jeremiah knew, was going to be taken, and was already, in fact, already in the hands of the enemy, or at least in that province. And so we find that it was really an unusual thing for Jeremiah to do. But why was he doing it? He was doing it because God's word had been spoken to him. And even though it didn't make a whole lot of sense, he went ahead and obeyed it. Now, the things of God always make sense. They just transcend our sense. You understand that? Our thinking. And here was Jeremiah, and he obeyed the Lord. And after he obeyed the Lord, he said to the Lord, he prayed, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and earth by thy great power and stretched thine arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. A lot of reasons why that we can't sometimes go before God and really be powerful in prayer and love God is because God has already told us to do something, and we're not willing to do it. And here was Jeremiah, and he was willing, even though it didn't make a whole lot of sense to him, to go ahead and obey the word of God and to trust the Lord. It was faith. It was faith. Amen. And sometimes that's just what God wants us to do. Obey Him. Matter of fact, all the time. By faith. There must be faith, number one, in His power. In verse number 17, he says, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched thine arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. In other words, he was saying to God in his prayer, Lord, I will do this and I have done this because I know that you have created everything by thy great power and stretched thine arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. When I was giving my testimony the other day, I was talking about the Milky Way and all the stars and how God created the stars. Last night, I had to slip out late and go out to the car, and I looked, and wow, the stars in Michigan are incredible. And it was, the stars were shining, and I think about that, and I think God, in Genesis, when you were talking about in chapter 1 that you made the sun and the moon. And it's just at the end of that verse, there's just a few words that says this. And he made the stars also. And he made the stars also. Almost like, oh, by the way, all the stars were made by God too. And we serve that God. Amen. And Jeremiah knew that was the God that he was serving. And he said, oh, God, you made all of this by thy great power and stretched out arm. And I know that I'm doing something here that may not make sense to human speaking and the thinking, but because you're the God that made everything, it just makes sense to do. You have great power. And the question is this, as God is dealing with our heart about what he wants us to do in regards to missions, do we always look at it just in a human standpoint and say, hey, this doesn't make sense, and people will look at us and they laugh, no, I better not do that. But God is speaking to you from his word. And I believe this is the application that you can make here, because Jeremiah was really acting by faith on the power of God. Let me tell you something. The road to dedication to God will always be paved and lined with those who are critics, who will say to you, what in the world are you doing? And you can look back at them and say, God made all of this, and he is my God, and he will take care. I'm reminded of Gamaliel. If it be of God, it'll last. And I believe that that's what God is wanting us to, and how he wants us to live every day, every one of us. Let me go on quickly. Not only in regards to his power and his creative power that we need to have faith, but also in regards to how he provides in such a wonderful way. In verse number 15, the Bible says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now, we know we're talking about the return to Israel after the captivity. And by the way, isn't it wonderful as you read this scripture to realize the mercy and the love of God, how that even though Israel was so disobedient and so much in, and you can read it right in scripture right up ahead of us in chapter 32 and 33, how that right in his face, and yet in his love and mercy, he's saying, I know I'm casting you out of this land, but I'm going to bring you back. That's the mercy of God. The world will leave you hanging, but the Lord will never leave you hanging. In that sense, he always is reassuring you by his word, I'm going to take care of you in his provision. And we can step out by faith, and we can do things in the power of God and through his word and exploits, because we serve a God who has said that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and that I will provide all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I will supply those. And this is the person that is not sitting on their couch and just chilling out and enjoying all the things and not giving. In that chapter there in Philippians, we find those are people that are already busy for God. But here was God, and he's told him, he said, Jeremiah, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Just one quick illustration. I learned this a long time ago, and I'm still learning this truth. Still learning it. I was sitting in my office back before I ever got into ministry. I was a textile manager. I was sitting in the office, and a friend of mine came in. His name was Henry. And Henry was one of those folk that he just lived by faith. And he was my age, and he came in. And he said, look what God has done. And Henry worked in the warehouse. I had this office and nice desk and a secretary out there. And Henry walks in and he's all dirty. And he says, look what God done. And he pulls out his wallet and he shows some money. He said, man, I needed some money. And God gave it to me right at the right time. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm like, yes, it's wonderful, Henry. You know. And you know, he was always doing that. Don't you get tired of that sometimes? I don't think. But he was always doing that. So he walked out of the office, and I shut the door here, and I went over and told the secretary, I said, I don't want to be bothered, and I shut the door, and I went back to my desk, and I sat behind my desk, and I started crying. And I said, Lord, you never do that for me. I was just complaining. Maybe that wasn't right to say. I was like, Lord, I want to see you work like that in my life, amen. God. I want to be so that I have to know that you can provide. I honestly, and the Lord is my witness, I had one of my paychecks sitting in my wallet from the week before. I hadn't even cashed. I wasn't married yet, didn't have children, so there were no expenses. But I remember I was sitting there and I was just weeping for the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to know you in that way. I want to know you. And as the Lord is my witness, about 15 minutes later, there was a knock on the door. And it was the secretary. And she said, "Brother Frampton, there's somebody out here and wants to see you." And no, she didn't say Brother Frampton. She said Mr. Frampton. And she walked out, and I walked out, and there was a 12-year-old boy standing there, and the boy was from the youth group at our church across town. His name was Wayne. I said, "Wayne, what are you doing here at this time?" And knowing Wayne, he was probably skipping school. But he was coming by the factory. He said, "Brother Frampton," he said, "I was coming by the factory and walking down the sidewalk. And he said, God told me to come in and give you this." And he handed me $1. $1. I said, "Wayne, that's amazing." And he said, "Yeah." And he turned around and ran out. A 12-year-old boy. I laid that dollar on my desk. And I just shut the doors again. And I just went up. I said, "Lord, I didn't need this dollar. You know I didn't need this dollar. I'll try to use it for thy honor and glory. But God, thank you."
Yeah.
"Thank you, Lord." Faith, boy. And Lord was building my faith and how my faith needs to be built more, and yours too. But God is the God of provision. Let me finish here. In regards to his power and his provision. But I see in this text too that he had to also trust God in regards to people. Because this young man that came, or whether, however old he was, came to offer him this deal about the right to buy this land. And whatever the motivation of that was, and we know the law of redemption back in Leviticus, but whatever the motivation that was to give that offer and to help let him buy that land, we don't know. But I'll tell you this. That Jeremiah did not have to worry about the motivation of Hanamel, the uncle's son. He just knew it was the word of God. What are you saying, Brother Frampton? A lot of people will never step out and do what God wants for them to do because they are so concerned that they're going to somehow be abused or taken advantage of or by people. And let me tell you something. God owns everybody on this planet by his great power.
Amen.
He might not own them in redemption necessarily as far as being saved, but he owns them by creation. And God can move around and orchestrate people in your life, and you can trust God to do what he wants to do in your life in order to help people to be out of the way or be in the way, whatever he wants. Boy, some of the thoughts that, some of the things that we got when we got ready to go to South Africa and how the family and so forth, it wasn't very nice all the time. But God changed it by and by. And the Lord helped, and he can take hearts and move hearts like that. What a wonderful thing that is. But sometimes we miss out of the greatest blessings that God has because we allow people to stand in the way. And by faith, and you know what it really boils down to? It's a lack of faith. Amen. And we need to just say, God, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to give what you want me to give. Whatever the case may be, God, I'll do it regardless of what people think. Then let me give you this. Also, in verse number 17, he says, verse number 16, when he delivered the evidence unto the purchase of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, and there's so many things in here, but we're finishing up. I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, and this is a prayer. Behold, thou hast made the heavens and earth by thy great power and stretched thine arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. I believe that this shows us that even in the worst circumstances, in prison, that Jeremiah was able to pray to God and believe there was nothing too hard for God in regards to holy prayer. And that may be the ministry that God has for you here in this church, just to be a prayer, just to pray and pray for the missionaries and for the pastor and to pray. What a wonderful ministry that is. And there's power in prayer. And then finally, in regards to his protection. Jeremiah had to trust the Lord for his protection, or he would have never been able to serve God. But in the midst of a prison, he was saying, Ah, Lord God, you made all this. You're God and all powerful. You're going to take care of me as long as you want me here. And boy, I just want to give something to you. Dr. Sachs, we met in Johannesburg, South Africa. And what a wonderful time that was. And I'll tell you the truth, my brother, I'd go back tomorrow, you know, and I know you would too. And that's a pretty dangerous place. And I'm not going to go riding around in downtown Johannesburg with my windows down, you know, and just tempt the Lord. But I'll tell you this, wherever God has us, whatever God does with us, we're untouchable unless God wants us to go through something that be to His glory.
Amen.
The Lord let Mary and I go through something this last summer where we were tied up and we were on the floor and Mary was tied up and I was tied up, guns to our head. And you know what, brother? I just want to tell you, Dr. Sachs, what a blessing it is. It was one of the first times that there was somebody over from the States and we left our children with them. Or we would have had them with us probably, maybe at that point. I don't know. But at least they weren't with us. God is able. Amen?
Amen.
But as we were on that floor and we were there and everything was going on and I was thinking, Lord, this is it. This is it. Here we go. I wasn't smiling, by the way. Somebody said, what scripture do you quote? And I said, I couldn't remember Genesis 1:1 at that point, hardly. But I knew there was a God in control.
Amen.
And God chose to deliver us in a miraculous way out of that situation. And we're here today. And we'll testify to you by God's grace. We want to remember that we serve a God with whom there is nothing impossible.
Amen.
And God, use us. Keep your hand on us. Whatever you want us to do, any of us, because there's nothing too hard for you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, Lord, God, help us to put this scripture to our heart, Lord God. Lord, help us to remember, God, whatever you are dealing with in the hearts of the people in this room, God. And you work in so many ways. Father, help them to just let loose and say, God, regardless of what people think and whether it makes really sense to me, it makes sense to you, God. And so help me, God, to obey you. Thank you, God, for your love. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, my brother. We have a ladies' ensemble, please.
What's done for I consecrate my life more to thee. I follow thee, my Lord, and glory in thy cross. I gladly leave the world behind and count all it as loss. Lord, send me anywhere. Hold me, go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me.
Thank you.
Oh Lord, since thou hast died to give thyself for me, no sacrifice would be too great for me to make for thee. Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me.
We have a double header today, so cheer up. The Lord's been good to us. What a wonderful service we've had. Brother Terry Thompson, it's your turn, please. So thankful for this brother and his wife and their ministry. By the way, I came out of my office and his wife said to me, I'm going to the nursery so that the others can be down here. I said, that's the way my wife would have done too. That's a real missionary heart. See, thinking about others, not self, but others. How can I help? Not what can I get, but what can I give? That's what it's all about. Come on, wake up. What a wonderful privilege to serve the Lord. Thank you, my brother.
Right here at Fellowship Bible.
That's right.
Serve the Lord. And that's the way it is, because the servant's heart goes with you everywhere. Our children, they like to minister to Chileans because they grew up down there. They saw the needs of the people. They didn't think much of ministry to Americans. And I used to challenge them, you serve the Lord. You be a minister wherever you're at. All people have great needs. And I think they learned that lesson. Appreciate that. Let's just look to God's Word. You have your Bibles. John chapter 21 and verse 22. John chapter 21, verse 22. A dear brother, friend of mine, pastor, going through a church breakup, change of doctrine of a church down in South Florida. And he spoke on this portion. I don't know why I never seen it before. But boy, stuck with me. It's been a blessing to me. I trust it will be to you as well. God's Word says, John 21, verse 22, Jesus said unto him, Simon Peter, If I will that he tarry, John, till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we ask your blessing upon the children. We pray for our brothers. He imparts these eternal truths, these principles that never will change, that you would bless him, bless these little ones. May they have a light unto their path for the rest of their lives that will guide them into pleasing you. Father, for ourselves, that you would just open your word to us, speak to us, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
These words, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. I'd like to just talk about the call to follow the Lord. And most of you know that when someone accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and becomes a disciple, it's because they chose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And most of you know that if you go on to serve in ministry full time as a pastor or missionary, it's because you decided to keep following Christ. And all the way, even Dr. Sachs today, still following Christ. He'll do that even up to glory. And following Christ, that's all through, theme all through the Bible. Even the Old Testament, following the Lord, following Christ, following God. But here is a special occasion. If you go back in the first verses, the verses that come before, you know the story. The Lord is restoring Peter, his call upon his life, and he's saying, "Do you love me, Peter?" And Peter says, "You know, Lord, I love you." I think he did. I personally think he loved him. "Feed my sheep." It's a ministry. It's a call to ministry. So I think the context here we're dealing with really is a call to ministry, not just to salvation, not just to being a disciple, but a call to actually ministry. And, of course, then you know what happened. The Lord told Peter more or less the death he was going to die, and it was not an easy one, a martyr's death. And Peter, he can't help but think of John, that one that's so close to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says then, you know, "What about this man?" And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" And I believe that's a problem for all of us. We often, when we consider God's call in our lives and whether we should follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we look around, what are other people doing? What's everyone else in the church doing? And we kind of pick out a medium there. Don't want to be too radical either way. And be too slow or too fast. So we look around and we kind of choose a happy medium. I'll be right in that comfortable zone. But that's not what the Lord said to Peter. "Peter, what is that to thee, John? Follow thou me." And I just like to think about some of these thoughts. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, you know the story of the Galatian believers. Paul could not believe that they had left the true gospel that God had called them to. He could not believe that they left the true gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I'll just read it for you. Galatians 6, chapter 1, verse 6. "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." He couldn't believe it. How could they leave the wonderful grace of God for a works gospel, for keeping the law? He couldn't believe they changed and forgotten that true call of the. I believe that happens to us. I believe it happened even in Peter's life. It's so easy. It's so easy to forget that God's call upon our life, get focused on other people, and not follow the Lord Jesus Christ as he's called and burdened our hearts to do. And I want us to meditate on that. First of all, these are some things I believe we can see clearly in the Scripture. I know that God calls pastors and missionaries to serve him. An example of the apostles, we have it. Matthew 4:19, the Lord Jesus says to Peter and Andrew, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And then in Matthew 9, chapter 9, verse 9, again, he tells Matthew, follow me. And a call not just to salvation, but a call to ministry as an apostle. And there, I know that there are many others, too, that the Lord called. But I want us to look at, if we can, just real quickly, in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 19. And you'll see here that it wasn't all that way. Some were looking at other things. And we just read there Matthew chapter 8 and reading in verse 19 to 22. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, No disciples, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Yeah. And I think we can see clearly in the scripture that the Lord does call people to follow him in full-time missionary service and pastoral service, and I believe he's still doing that today. In the New Testament, we see Paul's call on the road to Damascus, spectacular as it was. But that of Timothy, of Titus, and John Mark, and Epaphroditus, and you can keep going, those men were called too, not so spectacular as Paul. But I believe the Lord Jesus Christ called them Amen. To serve him. I believe he's still doing it today. We know of many great men, Spurgeon, lots of Christian men that God has called and done wonderful works with their life. I believe he's still doing it right today Amen. As we're speaking. He's calling people to serve him. And he has a ministry for them to do to take the gospel out. I want to go to one more step in this. And that's found in Romans 11. Our dear brother this morning, he preached all my sermon. But it's... I think it's just preparation, okay, because you need to hear it twice sometimes. But Romans chapter 11, we were there in our Sunday school class, and I just want to read. There's another aspect to God's call on our life that I think that we should consider as well. Romans 11 and verse 29. But the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. The context here has to do with salvation. If we go up to verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. Now, this is God talking about his chosen people. And the context here is that Israel's been set aside, and the Gentiles, we've been grafted in. But he says in verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. And in verse 29, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was just a lad out on a farm in Western Washington. I can still show you, I could still tell you where the rail fence was I was going through when I finally... And it wasn't that I saw anything audible there. It was the faithfulness of Sunday school teachers that had taught me God's Word, and just came that hour out there in the middle of the night feeding my old hound dog down there that I stopped and gave my heart to the Lord. And well, all I knew was that I was on my way to heaven instead of going to hell, and I knew that my sins were forgiven, and I knew that I belonged to the Lord then. But later on, I found out all sorts of things when I began to study God's Word and people began to teach me the Scriptures, and I found out that in that moment I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I was regenerated, and the Holy Spirit came to live in my body and tabernacle, live with me, be with me, never leave me, never. He came to stay forever, and he's there with me, convincing me of sin and showing me what he wants me to do, and teaching me and leading me and guiding me. And on top of that, we read in the Scriptures at that very moment he took me and he placed me in the body of Christ. And that's why I say I'm part of your family, because we're all put in that same body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I didn't even know about that, but the Lord did that great work Amen. In my life and heart. And then he sealed me with the Holy Spirit. He put that guarantee that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to present me to his Father. My name's written in that book of life up there, and I'll never, never perish, but have eternal life. And all kinds of wonderful things happened in that moment, going to that rail fence when I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know anything about him. But God takes care of that. Amen. The Father is doing a great work in my life and heart. And I think that's this way with a call. God calls us to salvation, first of all. He calls us to Himself. And then He calls us to serve Him and to carry the gospel and to be messengers of the gospel to other people and to be witnesses in Jerusalem and unto the ends of the earth. And I believe God's still calling us to do that today. And there's another part to it. I would like to skip this part, but I'm not going to.
No.
It's in 1 Peter chapter 2. If you turn in 1 Peter chapter 2, and these are not comforting verses, but they're real verses. Excuse me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Just read this portion of the scripture. Well, I'm in 2 Peter, and it doesn't come out there. I'll have to get to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. And I truly believe that when the Lord called Peter, remember, He just said, follow me, Peter. But He also told Peter how he was going to die. Peter knew he was going to suffer. And Peter did suffer shortly after that. I believe that when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean we're not going to suffer. The prosperity gospel is very popular today in South America as well. But it doesn't fit in with what the scriptures teach. And I believe that following the Lord can be very difficult, physically. And if you would go back and look at this portion here, following the Lord can be very difficult. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Just look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, talking about following the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. This talking about doing the battle. If we went back and read the verses prior to it, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therefore content. I think one of the difficulties that many people face when they consider following the Lord Jesus Christ is they're afraid that they're going to suffer. They're going to have needs, and their needs are not going to be met. And this is the context of this portion here. And I believe the Apostle Peter knew that he was going to face difficulties too. He's going to be killed, be a martyr. But he willingly followed the Lord because the Lord had promised to be with him to the end. And Peter just confessed, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. You know I love you, Lord. I believe he loved the Lord and he did follow the Lord. A wonderful thing. And God has called us to follow Him as well. And then I just want to close out with this part. I believe that we're called to preach God's Word.
Amen.
I believe Jonah, you see it, he was sent to proclaim, to preach to Nineveh. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, our Lord Jesus Christ, He preached the Word. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God, the preaching of the Word, to save them that believe. People count it as foolishness, but God uses it to save men and women. Matthew 10, verse 7, Jesus commands His disciples to preach. Mark 1, 4, John was a preacher. Acts 5:42, cease not to teach and preach Jesus. Acts 16, 10, called us to preach the gospel. I believe that that is the call God has burdened our hearts with, to preach the gospel. I don't know who God calls, how God calls people to serve Him. I just know that His Word and His Holy Spirit that dwells within us, He's able to do that. I've mentioned to you the Gospel Mission of South America. We're trusting the Lord for 100 new missionaries to go preach the gospel in Argentina, Uruguay, and Chile. We figure about 50 million people without Christ. Pastor Matt said that's one preacher for each 500,000. Surely the Lord can send 100 men and women to preach the gospel there in those countries in South America. We're trusting Him for them. You say, who's going to go? We'll take Pastor Matt. We'll take Brother Casey, Brother Mark. I go right down the list of you all. We don't know who the Lord's going to call.
Yeah.
But we want the Lord's servants, those that the Lord has touched their hearts and Amen. Burdened them to go and prepared their hearts to go. And we want them to go and preach the word. And I know some of you are professionals in other areas, and you, I honor you for your titles and your positions. I esteem you. But I don't think there's anything wrong with you preaching the word. And just because you have a title in another field doesn't mean you can't preach the word. So if the Lord burdens you to go and join us and preach the word in South America, don't hold back on that. Just obey Him and follow Him. And don't worry about looking at your brother. And what the Lord says, what is that to thee?
Yeah.
Follow thou me.
That's right.
And that's the important thing, that each one of us follow the Lord like Peter did, even if it cost us our lives. My daughter said to me one time, it's so good for the ego, she said, why in the world did Mom ever marry you? Oh, boy. Leave it to a daughter, boy. But on the other hand, my youngest son, Dan, he said one time, if the Lord can use my dad, He can use me too. Oh, boy. Talk about ego busters. Punch your balloon. But it's true. It's true. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Oh, brothers and sisters, if God calls you, don't hesitate at all. Don't look sideways. Don't look at back. Amen. Just follow the Lord.
Yeah.
And He'll bless you. He'll use you. And He'll give you fruit for eternity. His name will be glorified among the nations. And it would be a privilege to serve the Lord with you. Shall we pray?
Amen.
Our Father, we thank You for Your word that it's not hard to understand. But, oh Lord, give us that decision in our hearts to follow You, not only in salvation, receiving the wonderful gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and our sins forgiven, but to follow You in Christian service if You should call us to go. And Father, if You call some to stay here in Ann Arbor, that You just give them a real fruitful ministry here, and they might have the joy of sending many around the world to preach the gospel, for we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. It's refreshing to be reminded that God has a call. The ministry is not a profession. We don't work for a government. We work for the government of heaven itself. But it's a call. And I'm so glad our brother pointed this out, that there's no way for us to determine the call of God. I know I was called as a small boy. I've had no other ambition, no other intent, but the Lord's work. That's all. It doesn't attract me to have anything else. May I remind you that that's exactly what the Bible says. When the Lord was here before His establishment as the Lord of this, as the Savior of the world at the cross, He came to present Himself as the King. Do you know what His terms were? Forget your home, forget your job, forget your food. You know, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first, the kingdom of God. That's a tough one. But it's there. It's in your Bible. You have to face that kind of a situation. I was reading there this last week and reminding myself again of the woman at Zarephath. She's ready to die with a little child. She'd come to the end of herself. And yet Elijah came along and said, "That's fine. But you know what?" She said, he said in 1 Kings chapter 17, "Give me first. You feed me first." This is tough for us, dear friends. We've got our minds all set up as to what the strategy is. I'm here to tell you that God said, seeking first. God said, give me first. You take care of yourself later. May I give one more illustration of that word first in our Bible? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, they're talking about giving and the responsibility of the Corinthians. They had nothing. They were very, very destitute. And yet the Bible says they gave themselves first. You don't have to worry about a man's pocketbook if you got him. We've been challenged this morning. I am very grateful for these ministries that I got. You have been privileged to get it all week long. And at the end of the week, you say, "Man, now what do I do?" Well, come and follow. Join the ranks. He doesn't want everybody. I know that. You know that. Some have to be those who stay by the stuff to maintain those of us who are in the Lord's work, to make it sure that we have allowances to be able to do what we have to do. But you're still responsible to give God number one, first place, whatever you are or however you are. May I just make a few remarks about this matter of following? Moses complained in Exodus chapter 4. He says, "I can't talk." And his excuse has been labeled all the time amongst the saints. "I don't have the ability. I can't do it. I'm not made out. I'm not cut that way." Forget it, my friend. When God calls, He'll make you capable. You've heard this before, and if you haven't, let me just give you the common sense. The best ability is availability. It's not what you can do, but whether you're available. Are you willing to be what God wants you to be? That's what these men were saying to us today. That's what the music was this morning. That's what the little children were singing. I don't know how to say it to my friend. It's the Spirit of God who will burn your heart about these things. Nobody else will be able to do that. No, there's no argument. There's no preacher. There's no pastor. There's nobody. But the Spirit of God can do it. I remember that my father said that in the Jewish era, when I was born, that my parents were praying that I would go into Christian service. Well, that was before I was born. I appeared in the magazine that Raymond Hyman Sachs was born to Israel Isaac Sachs and his wife Elizabeth Borman. By God, what a privilege. I thought that we might get some preachers out of our family. We got medical doctors and got a pilot, but no preacher.
Has God called you? If He's called you, give Him a chance. The best ability is availability. And along with availability is your affability, your deep desire to just do the will of God. That's what these brethren have been talking about today. Nothing more, nothing less. But if God calls you to be what you are in some secular situation, still give Him the best, the first place in your life. Say, well, that's what God's called me to be and to do. My brother Mbala is a professor at the university. It seems that that's where God has called him there. But that doesn't mean he can't be a witness for the Lord there and support the ministry of the men who are in call of God. I just want to remind you today that for 25 years in this church, we have asked for people who once had given themselves to the work of the Lord. That was their sole goal and aim, to serve the Lord. And every time we've had that 25 years of asking people to come forward, I've asked my wife to come, to stand with me, because we were called of God. I'm asking you to do that now, darling. Please come. And then we've asked for the missionaries who are amongst us to do the same thing. So Brother Frampton and your family, and for Brother Thompson, Brother Buer. Come on over. Come close to me, brother. Thank you. These are people who stepped out to serve the Lord. A few years ago, we were quite surprised, all of us, but pleasantly rejoicing in our hearts, that Brother Matt Postiff stepped forward and said, I want to serve the Lord.
Your wife is upstairs. Your wife upstairs. Yeah.
We also were delighted that Anna Widgeon stepped forward one day. And so, Anna, would you please come to join us?
I can't tell you what a joy it is to see what God has done in this place. And we rejoice in His faithfulness and His goodness. There have been some others who said they are available. And it doesn't mean that they were going right away or going into a Bible school, but they were available. And I'd like you folks who did say that at one time to come forward. You're still available. Come, please, Brother Casey. And for Olivia, too. Praise the Lord. It ought to make us rejoice that God is calling this one and that one and touching them and say, well, I'm there if God wants me. And He will. Like our brother Thompson was saying today, and Brother Frampton crying out to God, and our brother Kurowicki. I mean, who's concerned about the kids? You know, Brother Frampton, in the Kempton area, there are 300,000 children with nobody. Nobody cares. May God help us to respond to what God has been speaking to us about. Availability, that's it. Not my ability, but availability. That's the big thing. Let me close with this. For 25 years,
We've had the joy and privilege of having Paul Tidball with us. He was with us at the Grace Bible Church, and then he came over here to us at Fellowship Bible Church. And until his death, he preached to us at our missionary conferences by telephone. He died of suffocation. But he died as a witness amongst our own people, the Jewish people. Just this last year, his second wife, Judith Gentry, who for several years served the Lord in Brazil. And when her mother got sick, instead of coming home to take care of her mother, she said, "You come down with me. They need us in Brazil." And Judith Gentry kept her mother on the field until her mother died. She didn't stay home and say, "Well, I got to take care of Mama." Mama came out and took care of her daughter, and they served the Lord in Brazil. And then after Brother Tidball's first wife died, he was visiting the fields, and he came across Judith, and he decided that he would ask her to become his companion. And they came back to the States, and he became the director of the mission in Cleveland for many, many years. He went on to be the Lord, and Judith, just this last year, on August the 20th, went home to be with Jesus. My wife brought this to me. We've had Leonard Mesnar with us many times. Very faithful man of God. And Leonard Mesnar's wife had a stroke, and she really became totally incapacitated. And it sort of stifled his ministry, but the children of the family gathered around and helped so that he could serve the Lord as much as he's been to our meetings several times. We just received this notice that Donna has gone home to be with the Lord. This is not the right letter, but anyway. So two faithful people have gone on to be with the Lord who used to stand here with us. I wondered if, in the closing moments of this meeting, if there's someone else who would like to say, "Pastor, I'd like to join you." For those of you who are there for the Lord's work, and I'm available. I'm not saying you're leaving tomorrow or the next day, or we're not asking where you're going, what your abilities are. We're just simply saying, are you available? Should God call you, are you willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow you"? If you are, would you join us, please? Anyone? Praise God. Andy, Rebecca, Daniel, and Brother Ben. What a thrill. Praise God. Daniel's been down in Chile this last year, and it's just wonderful to see these. We've seen Ben Carnes grow as a small boy, so it's a great joy. Praise the Lord. We'll just have a word of prayer before we sing what we normally do at the end of the conference or at this particular session. I wonder if Brother James Widgeon would come and lead us in prayer, please, for us. Thank you, my brother. I wonder if those who are